Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. If you are struggling with a question and an answer has been elusive, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we're joined on this broadcast by our Bible Answer Man Facebook friends, as well as our YouTube friends. You can join us on the broadcast with your questions by simply dialing 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web is always equip.org, and via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI just landed. I was in Washington, D.C. for the last couple of days at a conference, this conference of transcendent importance. I'll talk about that in just a moment, but I do want to remind everyone that we're going through a 25-day odyssey to the heart of Christmas, and on day 7, our consideration is census. And let me say this about that. On the Dateline NBC Birth of Jesus special, Dr. John Dominic Crossan, he was, of course, the co-founder of the wildly popular Jesus Seminar, he called into question the biblical veracity of Holy Scripture by saying, Luke tells us the story that at the time Jesus was born, Augustus had decreed a census of the whole earth. Now, said Cross, and every scholar is going to tell you that there was no such census ever. In other words, it was saying that the Bible was corrupt. So the question is, did Dr. Luke make a colossal historical blunder? And if he did, is the Bible therefore untrustworthy, or is the inverse true? And let me make a couple of points in that regard as we kick off the broadcast today. The first being that while Crossan made his pontification with typical bravado, it turns out to be patently false. Caesar Augustus was famous for census taking, so famous, in fact, that this issue is no longer even debated among credible historians. A second point I would make in this regard is that Luke was a meticulous historian, and as such, he notes that the census took place when Quirinius served as governor of Syria. We hear about Syria in the news. Now we're hearing about Syria in the Bible. And since that census came in under the administration of Quirinius, it should correctly be labeled as precisely that, his census. Not only that, but given Luke's impeccable credentials as a historian, it would have been far more circumspect for Crossan to temper his dogmatism. So at any rate, on day 7 of our historic journey to the birthplace of Jesus, I think you ought to make a commitment to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. And remember, even if you don't have an answer at your fingertips, you can always research and return. In fact, that's why I wrote the book, The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. This book available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute for those who support this ministry. And I can tell you, we need your support. It's interesting that the economy has come roaring back, but oftentimes, the giving to Christian ministry has not kept pace, and I don't know all the reasons for that. We're becoming less and less ingrained in the things that really matter, and this is true with millennials, but it is quite certainly true across the board as well. So if you have some of the Lord's resources that you can support the ministry with, it would be deeply appreciated. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. The book on its way as my way of saying thank you. There are many other resources that we have available for those that give this month. Check it out again on the web at equip.org. I was telling our Bible Answer Men Facebook friends that I was in Washington, D.C. with Christina and my wife, Kathy. We are attending the third International Conference on Religious Freedom, the Persecution of Christians in the Holy Lands, the Middle East, and the conference had to do with consequences and solutions. This was the third conference held in this regard, bringing awareness of this persecution to Western regions. The first was November 2010 at the European Parliament in Brussels, Belgium. The second was in Berlin, Germany. And the subject matter, I think, is getting more and more traction. I was very heartened by the members of Congress, people in positions of power in our government that are now bringing awareness to Western regions. And not only awareness, but doing something of consequence about this mass genocide taking place with respect to Christians. You know, obviously we face soft persecution in the West, but the specter of hard persecution in the East is really what I want to focus in on. Christians are being marginalized in the West, that is true, but they're being martyred in the East, where holy war in the name of Allah has become a moral imperative. I've written about this in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. But think about this, scarcely 2 years after the death of Muhammad, Muslim hordes massacred multiple thousands of Christians in Syria. Then a year later, they massacred monks in the monasteries of Mesopotamia. And during the next 300 years, Islamic imperialists succeeded in subjugating two-thirds, think about this, two-thirds of the Christian world. And that includes Palestine, where Christ was born, Egypt, where monasticism was birthed, Asia Minor, where the early Christian church first flourished. By 711, Arab armies had defeated the king of Spain. And if Jan Sobieski had not halted Muslim expansionism at the gates of Vienna, think about this date, September 11, 1683, the whole of Europe would have fallen to Islam as well. I spoke about all of this and more at the conference in Washington, D.C. Just over 100 years ago, 1914, not all that long ago. This is modern history. The last Muslim caliphate issued a fatwa mandating that all Muslims massacre Christians in their midst. And keeping with the mandate, the Ottoman caliphate crucified, beheaded, raped, enslaved, and otherwise massacred countless infidel Christians. At least that's how they refer to them. The official number of Armenians killed in the genocide was 1.5 million. In addition to that, there were hundreds of thousands of Greeks and Assyrians, each also systematically slaughtered. The reason I bring that up is one great war later, Hitler cynically anticipated the collective amnesia of the modern world when he said that he had given orders to exterminate men, women, and children belonging to the Polish-speaking race. And then he cynically added, you know, who remembers the extermination of the Armenians? The collective amnesia of the masses is indeed breathtaking, as is the mass genocide of Eastern Christians squarely in the blind spot of the West. When we think about what's going on today in Mosul, we were talking about this at the conference. It's one of the oldest Christian communities, Nineveh in the Bible, one of the oldest Christian communities in the world, and their churches today stand empty. There are so many examples of persecution that I could give. Jacques Hamal, who was brutally murdered in the north of France. Think about what happened in Egypt, in Alexandria, in Tanta, where so many were murdered, and that just this past April. And this was a time that had significance to me because it was a time that I was diagnosed with mantle cell lymphoma. And while I was facing that dread disease, people were facing being beheaded and crucified and exiled. So this was a significant event that took place this year. This is not something that happened years and years ago. That happened this year. And, you know, obviously the problem is not only persecution, the problem is a population issue as well. Islam has not only advanced by sword, but continues to advance through migration without assimilation. I've often referred to that as the python swallowing its prey with a long and slow digestion. Many polygamous Muslims are now filling a vacuum that are left by Westerners who are moving rapidly towards self-extinction. Not one post-Christian nation, think about that, not one single post-Christian nation has a birth rate sufficient to keep it alive. John Paul II summed up the problem succinctly when he said that a nation that kills its own children is a nation without hope. A civilization that is becoming Islamic demographically will inevitably succumb to Islam politically as well. And this is one of the great travesties that we are facing in the modern world. Added to the persecution and population problems, I've mentioned in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, the propaganda problem. In myriad ways, the West is being seduced into believing that Islam is a religion of peace and tolerance. In reality, Islam is not a religion in the sanitized Western sense. What it is an all-encompassing socio-political legal matrix that has bred a worldview antagonistic to anything but itself. I've said this many times, there might be millions of peaceful and tolerant Muslims, but that hardly means that Islam is a peaceful and tolerant religion. So the only real solution, in my view, to a disintegrating West and resurgent Islam is the power of the gospel, no matter how dark the times. No one said this better than Oz Guinness. We must always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. But it's not enough for Christians to be intellectually equipped. One of the things that came out at this conference is the fact that we must be internally equipped during this Anything But Christian moment. And what that means is that the church must be energized for its mission by a power that is in it but not of it. That's what Paul was speaking about in Colossians chapter 1 when he said, "We proclaim Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that everyone might be made perfect in Christ." And he said, "To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy which so powerfully works in me," which is to say that we can struggle with our own energy, we can be on the sidelines not struggling at all, or we can struggle with all his energy which so powerfully works in us. Of course, the Father's greatest gift to those who have been saved through the death of his Son is the impartation of a new order of life. It's an order of life that is the same quality as the life of Christ, for that is precisely what it is. It is the impartation of the life of Christ by which the incarnation continues. The descent of the ineffable in incarnation ultimately provides the ladder of divine ascent by which fallen humanity might rise up to union with God, or, as Peter put it, to participate or partake of the divine nature. And that is the energy alone that is sufficient to empower the body of Christ in the present clash of civilizations. It is the mysterious power that makes us tremble and yet attracts us. It is the mysterious energy by which we may as yet reclaim the soul of the world against the forces of insistent secularism and Islamic jihad. So we are asking people to pray. We're asking people to learn, we're asking people to share, and we're asking people to give. All of that is your part in making a difference while there is yet time. Again, we have an End It campaign, E-N-D-I-T, all caps, one word, End It. And you can text 41444 to find out more, to see how you can be involved. But if you do nothing else, pray, give, share, learn. In doing that, we can as yet perhaps do something about an international genocide of Christians that is taking place on our watch in the 21st century. Coming up to the station break. We're back on the other side of the break with more of the Bible Based Men broadcast, so please don't touch that dial. And now back to Facebook.
We hope this Bible Answer Man broadcast is blessing your life with answers you need to understand and defend your faith. And if it is, will you prayerfully consider supporting the broadcast with your gift of any amount today? Your gift will help us continue to bring the broadcast and resources that have changed your life and many others, and grow our ministry to reach millions more people who urgently need answers but don't know where to look for them. With truth under ever-increasing attack, it's more vital than ever to equip Christians to think Christianly. To stand with us, go online to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI to make your special gift of support today. Thank you for your commitment to sharing the truth with as many people as possible. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. An infinite God reduced to the size of a human embryo, the creator of time and space, invading both in human form? Such is the mystery and the majesty of the Incarnation, supreme being condescending to become one of us. Perhaps nothing is more important than grasping the significance of the coming God in human flesh. Without the life, death, and resurrection of the incarnate one who walked among us, our world would be unfathomably dark. To be equipped as a witness and to be inspired in your walk, you'll want to feast on Hank Hanegraaff's book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. For many Christians, the reality of God is so obvious and undeniable that we're amazed anyone could seriously doubt it. And yet, many do. How can we help such people recognize what seems to be so apparent to us? James N. Anderson highlights six aspects of everyone's life that can be explained only if God exists. Other topics include, was there a Jewish temple in ancient Jerusalem? The irony of 13 reasons why, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org.
Looking for an investment with eternal significance? When you partner with us through a gift of support today, you will help multiplied millions to grow in their own faith and share it with others. There's no telling how far your impact can spread, as this letter from a listener shows. I heard Hank the first time when I was working as a farmhand. I was very curious about Christianity and had many questions. I listened to Hank each day and grew in my faith step by step. I am now a lead pastor and Christian family counselor. Thank you for everything that you have done to further me in my spiritual growth. To make your kingdom investment today, call 888-7000-CRI or give securely online at equip.org. May God bless you for helping to share the truth with the world. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And during the break, we're talking to a Bible Answer Man Facebook live listeners as well as YouTube live listeners and answering a question about those who claim that they have gone to heaven. I wrote about that in my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. And they come back with these new revelations, revelations which counter, in many cases, what we have in the revelation already given to us. I'm talking about the revelation of the Word of God. It's very, very interesting to me that when I look at cases of near-death experiences, the stories, the anecdotes are always contextualized by whatever the history of the person was before they had the near-death experience. So if they're a Buddhist, they have a different kind of experience than if they're a Muslim or if they're a fundamentalist Christian. So again, the belief system that a person had before the quote-unquote near-death experience oftentimes contextualizes what they claim to have seen. But we ought to always test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is, of course, true. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Frank in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, K-A-R-I. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Hank, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
Good. I just want to thank you for all your ministry that you do. And, you know, being one of these people that listen to all the prophecy people and buying into the Revelation 12 thing, it's nice to have a person who has a mind and doesn't get, carried away in it all and keeping us calm. With that being said, with Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10, it talks about 70 years. But at the end, it says in Babylon. Now, is that talking about the embassy and how now Jerusalem is now the capital of Israel, and it's been 70 years since Israel has been a nation?
Has
and
absolutely nothing.
Zechariah 12.
Yeah, has nothing to do with that whatsoever. And I think this is part and parcel of understanding the historical principle of biblical revelation. If you understand the historical principle, you always go back to these passages in Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Zechariah or whatever it happens to be. These prophets are writing within a particular historical context, and without understanding that historical context, it's very, very hard to understand what they have in mind. For example, if you understand that Ezekiel is writing from, as it were, a concentration camp in the south of Babylon near the Kibar River after Jerusalem has been destroyed. He is writing at that time, wistfully looking into the eastern sky, thinking about the time that the temple is going to be restored, but not in the 21st century, but under Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah. So you have to understand the historical context. And the same thing is true with the book of Revelation. People want to take Revelation and jettison it into the 21st century. Revelation is not about the 21st century. It is written to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. They're told to be faithful and fruitful, they're going to suffer for a short time. Their vindication is going to be an eternal vindication. So we have to remember the art and science of biblical interpretation. If we do not, We're going to make nonsense out of Scripture when the Scripture is the most majestic of all literary masterpieces, and not only majestic in terms of how it is presented, but majestic in that it is the inspired Word of God. In other words, people inspired by the Spirit to write down that which God wants them to communicate. They use their own personalities in the process, but ultimately this is inspired literature, not written to us, but written for us. It's written to people in a particular historical context.
Okay, so that 70 years that he's talking about has already been fulfilled then, right?
Most certainly the historical context is given in Scripture, and I've written about this in my book, The Apocalypse Code. The whole 70-year thing is so misunderstood, what that period actually entails. First of all, not only misunderstood in terms of people taking it and bringing it into the 21st century context, but even in its historical context, it's misunderstood. So I've written about that in my book, The Apocalypse Code.
All right, well, thank you for your time, Hank. I much appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Laxman, okay, sir, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless your ministry. Wherever you go, the Lord will be there with you. You know, I love that, Laxman. Thank you for saying that. You know, it was an incredible experience over the last couple of days to speak, to be the keynote speaker at the opening of this conference, not the third conference of its kind with respect to the persecution of Christians. And I sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit when I had the opportunity to speak, and that's the most comforting of all feelings, you know, so that you recognize that you're not dependent on your own gifting alone, but a power that is in you but not of you.
And that's what's consistent throughout the centuries, throughout all human history, is that we have the Holy Spirit with us, and that, you know, through changes and variations and, you know, break up, like churches that break apart, you know, the Holy Spirit is an everything. He's in and through everything. So when we're not there, he is, and he works through us because God wants to use us, but he works through people on his own as well.
That's absolutely right. Going to a happy place. I don't know who this is, but I know Mercury One, started by Glenn Beck, started collecting money to relocate Arab Christians to safer countries. Iraq. What did I say?
Arab.
Oh, jet lag. I guess I can't really claim jet lag from Washington, D.C. Okay, I just blew it. But anyway, Iraq. And, you know, look, I'm happy for any Christian that is helped by people that care in Western countries, I will tell you that. But let me say that there are so many Christians that do not want to relocate. This is a situation that has to do with indigenous people that are a witness, and we don't want to remove that witness. That witness is a witness that is poignant and profound because it is the testimony of one's blood. And the blood of the martyrs ultimately is the seed of the church. One of the things I mentioned in my talk was Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, of course, the persecution breaks out in Jerusalem, and the believers are scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And when they're scattered, they proclaimed the gospel wherever they went, and it was that persecution that ultimately turned the Roman Empire upside down, because, as Tertullian put it, the blood of the martyrs became the seed of the church. And so this testimony in blood, though it is horrendous, though it is unspeakable, though it should not be countenanced, nonetheless, the Lord uses it in a powerful way to testify to the resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ, the fact that we will be resurrected, and the courage of the Christians who are martyred and will not renounce their faith in the face of being beheaded or crucified is what lends authenticity to the historic Christian faith.
Completely. And even the ecumenical patriarch in Turkey, I mean, he's under a lot of pressure in that kind of environment, but they do not want to relocate. They do not want to give in to persecution, because that, in sort of a sense, is saying that, you know, they're kind of giving up the gauntlet. And I think that, you know, not all, you know, you get rid of the people, and then there was a talk on sacred sites, and what was it, destruction of religious sites? I'm not exactly sure what the title was, but they were talking, one of the people in there were talking about how, you know, you take Christians away from their homelands a lot of times, and then you destroy their buildings and their sacred sites and all that stuff, and that's something that they coined as memoricide. You're taking the memory of people away from that land, and like you said, there's this misconception that, oh, these Christians are foreigners. But that's not true. They're indigenous to the land. Jews and Christians, and I mean, especially in Jerusalem, I mean, Jews, Christians, and Muslims claim to have ties in that land. And especially Christians and Jews have a historic, back to Abraham, tie to that land. And so it's erroneous to say that they're somehow foreign.
I'm really glad that you brought up this issue of the confiscation of buildings, properties, churches. Yes, artifacts. You mentioned the seminary in Istanbul. I still like to call it Constantinople. That has been closed for somewhere around 40 or 50 years. These are unspeakable atrocities that are taking place, and not enough is being done about it. Not enough pressure has been brought to bear on Turkey, and if the most powerful country in the world cannot make a difference there, pray tell, how can a difference be made? Again, we say that the difference can be made through prayer, through learning, through sharing, and through giving. And I look at these fantastically wealthy Saudi oil men who are spending $100 billion, perhaps much, much more, to export Wahhabism, which is, quite frankly, as virulent as ISIS or the Islamic State ever was. They're exporting their mullahs, they're building mosques, madrasas all over the world. And if they're willing to do that for a lie, how much more should Christians be willing to do for the truth? And it's time that the body of Christ in the West, in the richest country, perhaps in the history of the human race, it's time that Christians, wealthy Christians, started to do for the truth what these people are doing for a lie. And I hope that people will join in this cause in a very tangible way. The gospel's free, someone has to put in the plumbing. You can support this ministry. We're making the plight of persecuted Christians around the world known through our ministry outreaches at the Christian Research Institute. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk directly to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. We're going to break for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We will be back with our third segment, the quote of the day, more answers to your questions. And during the break, I'm going right back to our Facebook Live as well as YouTube Live audience, and we'll continue our interactions there. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
In these tough economic times, many ministries are being forced to pull back on their outreach. You can help ensure the Bible Answer Man broadcast isn't one of them by partnering with us through a gift of any amount today. No gift is too large or too small to help keep truth on the air. Whether you can give $10 or $10,000, your generosity will be part of God's provision for this entirely listener-supported ministry, silencing the skeptics and equipping multiplied millions of Christians to defend their faith effectively and lovingly. To partner with us today, please call 888-7000-CRI or give securely online at equip.org. Thank you for helping to bless others as you've been blessed by the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment to answer more questions. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Hank Hanegraaff explains that while politically correct culture is quick to point out discrimination and abuse of women in other respects, there has been a deafening silence when it comes to the systematic oppression of women under Islamic Sharia law. Other topics include God made us so that He could be our Father in a way that reflects His fatherly relationship to His only Son, the rational inescapability of God. Was there a Jewish temple in ancient Jerusalem? And much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. This then is the climax of divine revelation, God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed Himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed His glory. But in the Incarnation, we have seen His glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation, His last word. In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who He is. He gives us Himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are committed to providing the biblically and logically consistent answers you need to stand firm in your faith against the world's attacks and to strengthen Christians everywhere with the truth. But we can't do it without your help. As an entirely listener-supported ministry, we rely on God's provision through friends like you to keep the broadcast going strong every month. Will you partner with us through a gift of your support today? Every gift, large or small, helps build God's kingdom by equipping Christians to think Christianly. So please go online to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI today to be a part of God's provision for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thank you. Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff with more of the answers you need today.
Thank you very much, Randy. And while we were on break, I was talking to our YouTube Live and Facebook Live audience, and Chad was asking a question about the rapture of the church and the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I won't recapitulate what I said to Chad during the break, except to say that Jesus made a very important statement when He said, "Do not be amazed at this. The time is coming when all who are in the grave will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned." Meaning that there's no precedent in Scripture from my perspective whatsoever, and particularly based on the words of Jesus Christ, for the idea that some are going to be raptured 107 years before others are ultimately brought into the new creation. No, Jesus says that a time is coming when all, when the grace will come out, some will rise to live and some will rise to be eternally condemned. I won't belabor the point because this is something I've written about in many places, including the Apocalypse Code, a book that I mentioned earlier on in the broadcast. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. Quote of the day comes from Pope Francis, and I think it's an important quote, particularly in light of the mass genocide that is taking place with respect to Christians all over the world, but particularly of concern is the lands of the Levant, including the Holy Land, including Egypt, including Syria, including Lebanon, including Palestine, where Christ was born. Well, many other places could be mentioned, but the mass genocide that is taking place on our watch ought to be noted carefully by Christians in the West so that we can pray, that we can give, so that we can learn, and so that we can share. Pope Francis said this. And by the way, some people would say, why are you quoting a Catholic pope? Look, if we don't hang together, we're going to hang separately. This is a time for the body of Christ to be united, not bifurcated or trifurcated. Pope Francis said this, today, in order to bear witness to light and to truth, the church experiences in different places harsh persecution up to the supreme sacrifice of martyrdom. How many of our brothers and sisters in faith endure abuse and violence and are hated because of Jesus? When we read the history of the first centuries, we read of so much cruelty towards Christians. I tell you, there is the same cruelty today and to a greater extent towards Christians. Think about that. The persecution taking place today, says Pope Francis, is of the same quality as the cruelty shown towards Christians in the first century, and says Pope Francis, today to an even greater degree. And at some point, when we have the time, maybe I'll do some videos on this. I want to give some of the statistics. They're absolutely staggering. And now we're just talking about the Levant. We're not talking about what's happening in China, what's happening in places that we would not expect to hear about persecution, places that we think are persecution-free. This persecution is spreading rapidly. You have insistent Islam spreading the persecution. But the persecution has come to the West as well, where you have militant secularism wanting to wipe out Christianity in places like America. Christianity seen as the obstacle to the new values, the new progression that is seen as being enlightened, illumined. Of course, I'm talking about transgenderism or gender fluidity or same-sex sexuality. And it is time that we did not capitulate to the culture, but with gentleness and with respect, stand in after we have done everything to stand, just as we're called to do in Ephesians chapter 6.
Yes, and persecution of Christians just on a worldwide level, if we're talking about Christians that have been killed, we were talking about some of the statistics, about 350 million in the 20th century alone of Christians have been killed. In all 20 centuries, it has been 700 million. This is a statistic I got from the conference. But 700 million in 20 centuries. And in the 20th century alone, 350 million Christians have been killed. It's a staggering figure. And we're facing a lot of political, you know, what they called it, blasphemy laws. These ideas that you know, if you offend someone, like we heard of a lady in Pakistan who had said something potentially offensive to that people perceived as offensive to Islam, and she was sentenced to death. As seemingly a harmless comment or maybe a idea about something. It's happening in Turkey, but like this lady, I'm not sure which one, there was a lady that did, we did a panel at the Freedoms of Religion and the Press, and one of the, Cristina Arriaga de Puchols, talked about how this was happening in the United States and Canada, and I think it was, Sweden? I'm not sure the other country, but these ideas that if you say something slightly offensive, that's perceived to be offensive, then all hands are up and people are getting actually, like in Pakistan, people are getting sentenced to death because of it. And there's a lot of peer pressure in the West.
Indeed. Brandon is asking a question. Have you ever pondered the origin of the human races? Is it possible that this happens at the onset of the Tower of Babel? I would say the answer, biblically speaking, is that there's only one race. I often talk about the human race. If the Bible speaks of race in some predominant sense, it is running the race, but we're all part of the human race. And biblical distinctions of people are not ones of race, but of language and tribes and nations. And all people, of course, have descended from Adam. We see that in Genesis chapter 3, but we also see this in the New Testament in Acts chapter 17. And there is no scientific evidence that shows that there are groups of people alive today who are unrelated to one another. The commonalities among human beings and the fact that people from different nationalities can procreate testify to the fact that human beings have a common origin. And now it is true that the separation of languages happened at the Tower of Babel. People were trying to build a human enterprise. God destroyed that human enterprise because it was humanistic. It was not centered on worshiping God. It was centered on human potentialities apart from God. And we see the inverse happening in the book of Acts at Pentecost, where instead of being separated by language, they're now being united by language because the gospel goes forth in the languages of the earth as a result of the miracle of Pentecost.
And I think that's one of the most beautiful things about the gospel. I mean, when you look at the Tower of Babel, one of the misconceptions is that you know, culture or language or whatever you'd want to call it was a punishment, but rather it was actually God was enforcing what he'd wanted them to do. He wanted them to spread and multiply and fill the earth, and they wanted to do their own thing. And you have in Pentecost where we understand each other in the midst of different languages because we have the Holy Spirit. That's what we were talking about before. Through every church tradition, we have the Holy Spirit that unites us. And that is the most important thing. And that's what I love about Christianity. That's what I love about God, is that he's diverse. You don't have to be of a particular culture to be a Christian. You don't have to be a particular language to be a Christian. We can all be Christians.
What about gender?
Huh?
What about gender?
You don't have to be a particular gender to be a Christian either.
Isn't that beautiful? I mean, Paul says that. I mean, the fact is that Christ only had one royal seed. That royal seed is Jesus Christ. He is the royal seed of Abraham. And if you're in Christ, as you're pointing out, it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Greek. So it has nothing to do with your nationality. It doesn't matter if you're slave or free. It has nothing to do with your station in life, and has nothing to do with whether you are male or female. It has nothing to do with your gender. If you're in Christ, you're the royal seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. This is a beautiful truth of Christianity, is that we cannot, as true Christians, look at anyone else as being inferior to us. Whereas in the evolutionary paradigm, you most certainly can do that. In the evolutionary paradigm, I mean, there are hierarchies of races. And Darwin made that explicit in a book called The Descent of Man. A lot of people say that his particular idea of the origin of species had nothing to do with human beings, but in The Descent of Man, Darwin himself makes plain that that argument holds no water whatsoever. He was talking about human races as well. And therefore, the Negro, in his viewpoint, using his language, the Australian, was inferior to the Caucasian in the struggle for existence. So there is a hierarchy of races in the evolutionary paradigm. We could talk a lot about that, particularly with respect to what happened with respect to eugenics. In Christianity, that has never been the case. And I think I've pointed that out sufficiently for today's broadcast, but it is something that I hope that other people will broadcast as they have the opportunity to do so. Christianity knows nothing of superior and inferior people. A designer baby has no more worth in the eyes of God than a Down syndrome baby. And so the extermination of Down syndrome babies today in places like Iceland is a horror and abomination to God. We're about out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. I got an award, and maybe I'll let people know about that. I didn't want to do that today because I didn't want to appear in any way to point towards myself. But that award, maybe I will make plain to people on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, because that award is the direct result of people that support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute and have given me the opportunity to have a platform, as I did this week in Washington, D.C. You can give again in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Please be generous. Stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. We cannot do what we do with our ministries around the world without you. So again, please stand with us prayerfully and financially. Out of here for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Continue with Facebook Live.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. For many Christians, the reality of God is so obvious and undeniable that we're amazed anyone could seriously doubt it. And yet, many do. How can we help such people recognize what seems to be so apparent to us? James N. Anderson highlights six aspects of everyone's life that can be explained only if God exists. Other topics include, was there a Jewish temple in ancient Jerusalem?
The Irony of 13 Reasons Why, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.